Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio on a Wednesday night. I think it's Wednesday. I'm not too sure. I'm not going to say the date because I always get the date wrong, but I am your host with the most, the king of king himself, the man who declared New York not a state of emergency anymore because the pandemic is quote-unquote somewhat over here. I am Dot Rod. And on the phone line, I have a pain in the ass who's a pandemic himself to me. He's a virus himself. He's a pain in my thorn. He is a brother, not from another mother. Should I go on?
Please don't. Sean Black in the building once again. Good grief.
Okay.
And by the way, it's June 23rd, in case you couldn't figure out the date, because you're actually sober for a change. How about that?
It is? It is, June?
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Well, folks, you know the number to call, 347-989-8402, 347-989-8402, to our one listener out there. Thank you for listening. Well, is that time now to piss people off? But first, a word from our sponsor. Sean, plug it away.
I shall do that. So I'm going to turn all of you people, after we do the show, you can listen to Morton's Law podcast. I talked about it before the last show that we did on all major platforms, on YouTube, and specifically on Anchor.fm. Christopher Morton does a great job with his show. He does literally in sports, wrestling, his twisted form of comedy. But, yeah, it's funny, but he's one of those guys that's out there that you will actually enjoy. Very entertaining. He goes from 1 to 100 and everything in between. Very entertaining. Like I said before, you can listen to it on all of your major podcast platforms. Also on YouTube, he has a YouTube channel. It's Morton's Law Podcast on Anchor.fm or on YouTube or any of those other major platforms that you get your podcast from. He's all over the place. Very good show. You will enjoy it.
Thank you so much, sir. Okay, let's get ready to it. This past Saturday, Sean Black was celebrating, singing Kumbaya, singing his African dance song, dancing daily in the streets. Why? Because this past Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, it was Juneteenth. Now, Sean, I hope you have some clothes. As a matter of fact, you're home. If you're naked right now, that's your business. I don't care. Just don't pass any gas yet. But to our one or two listeners right now around the world, briefly, because this is our show, mind you, what is Juneteenth? Then we get right into it.
Okay. I'll give you the layman terms of it. Juneteenth was the day in June 19th, 1865, where the last of the quote-unquote unemancipated slaves found out that the Emancipation Proclamation finally hit in Texas. We know that President at the time, Abraham Lincoln, had freed the slaves by signing the Emancipation Proclamation. He talked about it in 1862 in September of that year. He said that if the Civil War wasn't over and the slaves weren't freed by then it would become law January 1st of 1863. That's literally what happened, and that freed 3.5 million slaves. The difference is, in Galveston, Texas, they were the last to find out that they were free, and that happened
two years later.
Exactly. 2 years later, on June 19th, 1865, General Gordon Granger and his regiment came through as Abraham Lincoln had given him an order, which was called General Order Number 3, which is to signify that that particular date that all slaves had been officially freed. And a lot of people will probably think, and I'm pretty sure the thinking is, that if that did not happen, Texas would have probably found a way to continue having slavery. Now, this is literally 2 years after the slaves were freed. And we've had celebrations in Texas and a lot of other states over many, many years that have dealt with Juneteenth as a holiday. And the first one was in Texas, who had made it a state holiday by signing legislation in 1979 and made it a state holiday in 1980. And lots of other states have followed suit over the years, and we've seen that happen numerous times. And now, as we saw the untimely passing of George Floyd and a lot of the other strife that has happened over the last 14 months or so, Juneteenth had picked up a lot of attention and a lot of media attention, mostly because a lot of people didn't know about it because it wasn't taught in a lot of schools. So we now know about it. We know that it is now a national holiday. And of course, we had a little bit of consternation because, as we talked about off air just last week, the bill was signed in by President Biden to make it a national holiday, and it passed 400 to 14. 14 people that disagreed with the bill are all Republicans.
Excuse me, Sean, back correction. 14 Republicans. Think the fact.
14 white male Republicans that were against the bill came up with so many different ideas and so many different excuses. It shouldn't be called Juneteenth Freedom Day. It should be an Emancipation Day, and it's going to make people change and thought process as to why we're going to have two different Independence Days, and they're going to take that this is the real day, et cetera, et cetera. Here is my argument for that particular case. July the 4th, 1776, is the day that the United States was freed from England, declaring their independence from England. Still in that day, during 1776, July the 4th, black people were not free. And the last time I checked, African Americans and black people that were brought over to the United States helped build the Capitol building and the White House and all of the other things that were in place at the time. They were not free. So for a lot of people to now have an issue with a holiday that recognizes how from 1776 to 1863, when slaves were made free by the President of the United States, and still another 2 years after that, a celebration, although it's not the only thing that's happened, you know, obviously this is a beginning, but to have the recognition of that and having the first national federal holiday since MLK Day passed in 1983, that's big.
Is it? Oh, okay. You know where I'm going with this one. Is it really big?
Go right on ahead.
To piss people off, personally, Sean know me very well. I don't care about this holiday. Never did, never will. And not recently I knew about Juneteenth because, like Sean stated earlier, something like this was never taught in schools, which I do agree it should be taught in school, like the rest of the history. The point of history in school is to learn the good, the bad, and ugly of American history, Greek history, Polish history, Haiti, Puerto Rico, all type of history. We need to learn from the past to help to have a better future. But let's be honest, the white supremacy like to keep that down, you know. The only thing we learn in school is America has slaves. They fought. They won. The phrase got free. That's all we know, give or take, in history school. Well, as for this, Sean Black, yes, it was a day of celebration. A lot of people was happy. Well, of course, where you have happy people, you have people who have questions. Like, okay, once again, do you think the government just threw a bone at you? Like, you know what? We need police reform. There's so much going on. There's social injustice, racism going on. This Juneteenth thing is just another holiday that the white man or white people or the government is going to benefit over us. Another marketing scheme like Mother's Day, 4th of July. But everything in America has to be capitalism or commercialized even. And before you go on, this past weekend for Juneteenth, you saw advertisement everywhere, you know, like on television, BLM, all this stuff, or Juneteenth sale. Like, wait a minute. All of a sudden, these networks care about black lives. You know their show, the Black Panther movie, again. Like, there's no other black movie that we have out there. I mean, how many times are you going to see Black Panther? Even my son, who's 7 years old, is like, Daddy, this movie again? You know.
Well, I'll push back on it from this sense. I'll push back on this. CBS actually showed the day after Juneteenth because there was sports coverage on Saturday. They showed the Sunday after Juneteenth. They showed Selma, which had not been on network television, which was about the Selma marches in Alabama that was literally the springboard for the civil rights movement for the marches that happened that in Selma. So they showed that on CBS. As far as programming goes, there were
why do you think they showed that? To make themselves look
well, we know
like
the reason why.
I'm sorry, you sound like you're giving them credit that they're doing something, but to us, in reality, you and I know it's all BS, it's all marketing.
All of television, all of broadcasting and television all comes down to money. So once you get that part out of the way, you move past the whole symbolism part. We already know what the boiled down part of it is. Getting past that part, we know that most television networks in totality, a lot of them don't have much of a soul because a lot of it is how much advertising time can they sell from whatever product they're going to sell for the particular network.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that. So at least in that sense, the network did not have to show that movie so soon because remember, it usually takes a while for a movie like that to be shown on regular over-the-air network television because it usually runs on cable, et cetera.
Exactly. But you know what? Let's jump on a gun. Everybody's hungry now for Black Lives Matter, all this stuff. Juneteenth is a new thing. It's trending. Let's hop right on it, and let's show we care about you people. Can I say that? You people?
Well, the one thing that I will say as has happened in a lot of the Juneteenth celebrations that a lot of unknown African-American businesses and small businesses did get a lot of traffic and a lot of attention through other companies that were bringing attention to those businesses because of Juneteenth. Usually you would only hear about it in February. Now, mind you, remember, we always talk about how cynical it is to have Black History Month in February, which is the shortest month of the year. And now we're talking now from February, March, April, May, June, 4 months afterwards. And we're still now talking about a lot of things that you would only hear discussed nationally during Black History Month. We heard during Juneteenth and the days surrounding it and the days shortly after. So if we're going to bring something positive out of it in a world of negativity, that's one of the things you can actually bring up.
True, but as you told me last week, and you told me this is a stepping stone to the right direction, because at the same time, we have other problems that America seems not to, you know, take care of right now. So like I said earlier, the Juneteenth, it seemed like there was another bone, another distraction, as they say, compared to the real problem that's going on right now as black hate, racism, social injustice, and so on and so on. The list could go on. So why should black people should be satisfied with Juneteenth?
Well, in all reality, black people should not be just satisfied just with Juneteenth. As I said, as I told you, this is just the stepping stone. This is to get the discussion going. Remember, there are a lot of places in this country where they are trying to sign laws that makes it illegal to teach about slavery and teach about all of the things that have happened to African Americans in the past. So to have a national holiday that recognizes the quote-unquote official end of slavery in a country that for hundreds of years was built off of the bones and the souls of African Americans, that is a start. Now the real work has to be done on, as you've heard me also say before, a grassroots level. When you start hearing about your local alderman or the local congressperson or the person that came up through that's a borough president or somebody that is going house to house and making things happen and trying to get things passed, when you make noise on the local level, the state has to listen to the reverberation. And then when the state gets that reverberation and rings their bell, then it becomes a national issue. And then that's when certain things get changed. That's when we start to get some change.
One more. This is like a two-for-one topic. Overall, here we are. We get Juneteenth. But a few weeks ago, or maybe last month, the Asian hate law got passed. Now, once again, Juneteenth, here's a little bone. Asian law got passed because a lot of hate crime going on, but they still have not passed by, excuse me, they still haven't passed a black haters law or whatever you want to call it. Now, can you explain that to me? How they work on an Asian hate law right away, but now black hate law, but they still give us Juneteenth right away?
Yeah. I'll give you this. As when you look at all of these laws that they're passing and bills that are floating around, we know that a lot of politicians either have people that they want push something towards to try to look good in the eyes of other politicians. We also know that there's usually, for a lot of other people, an agenda to pass certain things. We know that there are lots of laws on the docket for African Americans that are trying to be pushed. We also know that there's the Civil Rights Act that is being challenged, it seems like, on a daily basis. That's in place, that's law. We just talked about voter suppression bills, which is literally there to keep people to make it harder for African Americans and minorities to vote. When you hear and see a lot of these violent acts that are happening to Asian Americans, where we've seen in the New York tri-state area on the news, it's literally, you hear two or three stories of this every day of an Asian American being punched. One person got hit with a brick while in a store, being dragged into a corner store and being pummeled in the head with a cinder block. You know, these are the kinds of things that we have happening. So things have to be done from all sides, black, Asian American, Hispanic, Polish, Italian, whatever. Those bills have to be made, but the issue is who's actually going to push them? Who's getting the ear? I'll appeal to your cynicism. Who is going to benefit the most from getting that bill passed? Because a lot of it is timing.
Timing, but there've been a lot of hate crime. There've been protests last year. We broke records,
yes,
Black Lives Matter protests. But not one law has been passed. Biden and the Democratic Party made their promises to make equality for all, blah, 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 all that nonsense you just said. So far, correct me if I'm wrong, the only thing we have seen is Asian hate. I mean, there's more love for the gay pride right now. It's Pride Month. They see more love for that. But once again, the bigger picture of Black Lives Matter or black people in general, you're not seeing too much action going on. You see George Floyd, to keep our mouths shut, was George Floyd seems like the new symbol right now for black people. But that's about it.
And I'll give you the reason for that. The biggest original sin in this country, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, it's probably been the underpinning of a lot of discussion, is black people, whether it's from the 1700s or we're talking about today. There is so much deep-rooted racism in so many different levels and so many different pillars of society, from how things are done voting-wise to just access to food and other things, is so deeply rooted in society, as opposed to what we're seeing now, where a lot of politicians are trying to see what makes sense to end a lot of this right now. And apparently, as you're seeing right now, we're seeing a lot of Asian Americans the target. And the reasoning behind a lot of this has been the stigma over what's been going on with how the coronavirus has been portrayed by lots of politicians, mostly Republicans, who have been using this as a reasoning behind it.
Go ahead and say his name already. I know you're dying to say it. Say it.
Oh, you mean former President Trump?
Yes.
And people that are in office that have followed his lead from the last 14, 15 months of this pandemic, and even today feeling the trickle-down effects of that mindset. What we're hearing and seeing now are that because of a lot of the rhetoric that the former president used in blaming and cajoling and pulling out and using such derogatory names to try to brand the coronavirus a quote-unquote China flu or any of the other derogatory names he came up with, that mindset has stuck into the minds of people that are in fear of what they did not know about the virus, and underlying racist and prejudice mindsets that they had for Asian Americans in the United States, which have always been there. You can go and look at the news and hear about how Japanese Americans were treated in the 60s in San Francisco, and a lot of Asian Americans throughout time that have come to the United States have been treated like such garbage. And even in Hollywood, when you see all of the stereotypes that people were using to make fun of them and to misappropriate them, when you look at it now, that is something that needs to end and needed to end a long time ago. And I think that's the impetus now to get that right, at least politically and out front on television to the mainstream media, to the masses, to show that this is something that will not be tolerated.
Yeah. That's your opinion. I'm not buying it completely. We are being used as I'm trying to find the right words. Basically, we're not going to get what we want because I think we know what we want. We just don't know how to get what we want. Do you understand what I mean by that?
I understand where you're coming from.
You know, it's like we want equality. We want this. We want that. But the minute they throw us a bone, like Juneteenth, like I said earlier, we go out and have a parade. We're happy. We're celebrating. Like, what? We still have unemployment high in the minority community. We have drugs. We have gun violence. As crazy as we discussed last week of two young kids that almost got shot in a crossfire, you know. And these things keep happening in our type of community. Well, here we are. We're happy for Juneteenth.
My mindset is the cynical part from your side is understood, because I'm pretty sure a lot of African Americans are probably thinking the same way that you're thinking, is that when are we going to get more than these crumbs? And that's the mindset you're on. I'll push back on that side and say, even though it's just the beginning, It's not stopping the talking points. It's not stopping a movement of people trying to get something out of this. And we're seeing that in the fact that somebody like Stacey Abrams, who was in Georgia, ran for governor, didn't win, but she was able to get a grassroots movement together to get people to vote. And that's where we had John Ossoff and we had Raphael Warnock get in the Senate
and
from
became
Georgia.
A blue state. And it became a blue state in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Was normally a red state.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
She did action. She did action, which I give her credit for that. Well, in general, we don't do action. My bottom line is there have been a lot of promises for black this, black that, black this, or minority. As always, it's mostly talk with very little action taking place. It's like broken promises and lies.
And so it's almost like the ex-girlfriend, kind of like how many times are you going to go back to the ex-girlfriend or the ex-boyfriend and expecting something to change when it doesn't?
You know what? You finally hit the nail on the coffin. Thank you so much. Let's move on. But you and I always crack up jokes about who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated. When we see people walk around with masks, you give them the dirty look. Before I start, please, ladies and gentlemen around the world, if you don't want to wear a mask, if you want to wear a mask, if you want to get vaccinated or not, I'm not going to argue with you or preach to you. That is your business. That is your right. I don't care. But please, like I tell the people at my job, wash your hands, and when you're sneezing or coughing, cover your gosh damn mouth. It is one of my pet peeves right now. It's bad enough when you cough, everybody look at you like, uh-oh, you got it? But, and I call Sean Black all the time, how many people are walking in the streets, in the supermarket, sneezing and coughing like it's nothing, not covering their mouth.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Excuse me, are we still in a pandemic? I'm like, yes, the ratio is low, but there's still something going on. And number two, before I give it to you, Sean Black, and I love the name that you told me a few weeks ago, if you do wear a mask, ladies and gentlemen, wear it properly. I'm like, I can't believe after a year and a half, we're still talking about this. If you wear a mask, do not wear it on your chin, which I don't understand that philosophy or that concept. You're in the store, and you're wearing your mask on your chin. Either you wear it or you don't wear it. And when people's on the phone, they pull the mask down to talk. Not to eat, to talk. I'm like, okay. Am I losing my mind, Sean Black? Am I missing something over here?
I think you're in bizarro world because you're actually coming at this from a place of common sense. And as I picked up from South Park, the people that are wearing their masks around their chin, they call them chin diapers because literally you're talking crap if you got your mask around your chin. There is a place for having your mask around your chin certain ways. Obviously, you can't eat through the mask. So if you're out and about and you're eating, okay, that's no issue. For those that say that they have an issue when they're talking on the phone, I've talked to you many times in the last 15 months on my phone, and I'm using the same thing that I'm using right now, which are my earbuds, with the mask on. And it's not where I feel muffled or I'm out of breath, because a lot of people, I know of people that have wear masks and they don't have their masks when they're talking on the phone because either they feel muffled or they are out of breath because they're trying to breathe and talk on the phone and they're walking outside or whatever. I can understand that also. But I think that the one thing that we all have to think about, it would not be as bad if the COVID-19 virus was not such a huge asymptomatic spread. If we didn't have asymptomatic spread where you didn't know you had it and could pass it, then it was one of those things where, okay, you can understand. But we know that it just takes one roll of the dice, and you have it and not know it, and then bring it home, and the next thing you know, little Johnny is in the hospital on a respirator, or your mother or your grandfather or somebody's in the hospital because you didn't know. Now, as we both said before, this precludes anybody with health issues that can't take the vaccine. I'm not preaching to anybody and saying, oh, you're an idiot and you're – no, I'm not going there. What I'm saying is for those that have health issues that can't take the vaccine because of the ingredients, they're allergic to eggs, they're allergic to certain parts that they use to help manufacture the vaccine, okay, that's understandable. If you're too young to take the vaccine, or if you are of a have a compromised immune system where you're not allowed health-wise to take the vaccine, this discussion excludes you. It's the ones that already know the danger of the vaccine, already have an underlying condition like you have diabetic or you have some kind of issue where you know that maybe you suffer from obesity or maybe that you're suffering, you've had a cancer diagnosis, something along those lines. Those are the people that are the most at risk for getting COVID. And if they do get it, they get a very, very tough variation of it. And even more so, we have newer variants, as I talked about months ago. All viruses mutate. And the one that we have now is the Delta variant, which is supposedly much more virulent. You shed more virus, but you also at the same time infect more. The regular COVID infection is for every one person that has COVID, that person can spread it to three people. The Delta variant is for every one person infected, I believe it's like 7 or 8 or 9 people, somewhere in that neighborhood.
And that's a lot.
So it's much more contagious. Much more contagious.
And also, there's a lot of businesses out there. I mean, that say you can wear a mask. You have to wear a mask before you enter the store or whatever. But how do you feel about businesses that said, like, for, like, restaurants, one room for vaccinated people, one room for unvaccinated people. Unvaccinated people wear masks. Or what about the arenas, like in New York City, Madison Square Garden, where you have a 100% full capacity, but you have a session for vaccinated people and unvaccinated people, and they have to wear masks. Do you feel that is right overall, or do you feel that's like somewhat of a new Jim Crow law, or it might lead to some type of segregation problems?
The businesses have to make sure that they don't run into any kinds of issues that will end up getting them sued, i.e., you brought somebody in, because we know that during the last 15 months, we knew that a lot of businesses, because of certain mandates, we're telling a lot of businesses, we're not going to tell you what to do with your business. But the state mandate is masks inside within a certain amount of people, not more than X amount of people inside of an establishment at any one time, those kinds of things. If a business decides that because of health reasons that their policy is, you can wear a mask. I'll give you a perfect example. It's a barber shop not that far from me where they used to have – if you've been to a barber before, you go in, there's usually like 15 people waiting inside, waiting on maybe 5 barbers that are in all their own chairs that they've rented to cut hair. Now you have to have an appointment. You text the barber. You know, you get the barber's number from the establishment. You text them, I'm ready. You get an appointment. And if they're already cutting hair – you have to either wait outside and be out there between 5 and 15 minutes before his time that he or she says that they're ready to cut your hair. That's how businesses have evolved. It's on the business to try to make sure that they ensure people that are there are going to be safe and that the people working there don't get sick, even if they've been vaccinated.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling how, you know what, to, you know, wear my mask or not wear my mask, it is mind-boggling. Like, it comes down to this, to protect yourself and the business. But it still causes mayhem and chaos and pandemonium. you know, between vaccinated and unvaccinated people. And as we discussed many times before, how do you know that person is really vaccinated? You could have a fake passport or using somebody else's card. You never know. So, stated earlier, New York would not be in a state of emergency anymore. But what happened if cases start to climb up again? What are we going to do? Go to another panic attack? Go to another lockdown? Time will tell, right?
Yeah, but I think going through the previous month, knowing that at one point, just for saying New York was the epicenter of a good chunk of coronavirus infections and deaths, they were seeing literally like a couple thousand people sick and or dying every day, and it seemed like it was going up every day for a good amount of time. But knowing the procedures that were in place, what were done, they can learn from it. And what I think happened is that what New York went through, they were able to pass that knowledge on to other states, especially other big metropolitan cities that needed
to
glean from what New York and others did and employ
well,
that in
didn't
case
follow
of something
that
happened.
Some states didn't follow
well,
that. They
see,
still did their own thing. Come on.
Yes.
Should I go down the list for you?
Go right on ahead. You let me know.
Texas, Florida, Missouri, Kansas. Oh, I'm sorry. The Trump states? That's what you want me to say? The Trump states?
Well, I'll give you a stat that most people probably have realized based on looking at the news and media and listening to people in general. The majority of people that we're now, I believe, 65% or 68% of the nation has been vaccinated with at least one shot. And I believe 58% have had both shots in the nation. The majority of people that have not been vaccinated yet are white men and Republicans who swear that they are not going to get the vaccine. This has been documented as proof of of the refusal that they have towards this because in a lot of instances, they do not believe that the COVID-19 virus is serious enough to get a vaccine for whatever the reason is, whether personal or health-wise or just they don't want to take it because they don't believe in the science. Whatever the reasoning is, that's what has been there. And I think that when you go forward looking at all of the situations that we've talked about in the past, we have to find out now, is there a way to get through to them, or are we going to have more infectious pockets pop up? Because, like we said, this is the summer now. We're starting to get into the hot months. People are going to the beach. People are going out. Most of the mandates have been lifted. What's going to happen now, going forward? Are we going to have the same thing that we happen after Memorial Day, or are we going to have a clearer vision as to what we're going to do now from what we learned in the past?
Only God knows, and may God help us all. But, yeah. So other than that, so our next topic. What's the football player name again, Sean? You know me. I always forget the name.
Carl Nassib.
Yes, thank you, Carl Nassib. Nassib?
Nassib. N-A-S-S-I-B.
Okay, thank you. Well, in honor of Pride Month, it seems like lately everybody's coming out the closet. And they discussed this on last night on Blog Talk Radio with the menu with Brother B and Big Red. And I'm still waiting for Sean Black to come out the closet. I'm sorry?
I said a shout-out to them, by the way.
Yes, but like I said, I'm still waiting for you to come out the closet sometime soon. But other than that, this Carl, who played for the Las Vegas Raiders, has come out on social media stating that he's gay. All right. Sean, please explain to me, what's the big deal about this football player come active, quote-unquote active football player coming out game, because I'm telling you right now, it's no surprise, a high-rise doesn't care. Brother B doesn't care. And why do people need to feel they need to come out on social media or on a media platform to announce their sexual orientation? And I'm still waiting for you to tell me that you're gay. But go ahead.
Anyway, I think what most people that actually are, that feel comfortable enough to say this in whatever platform that they feel comfortable with, we live in a society where if you are gay, lesbian, transsexual, transgender, and you're in the community, there is this mindset that goes that you have to be quote unquote normal to be able to live a peaceful life without being subjected to violence, discrimination, etc. And if you're living a life that is not authentic to you, and you're amongst others that are heterosexual, that lifestyle that you are not from, and then you have to basically live a lie just to exist with other people, then there is, in a lot of instances, that compulsion to finally let it out so that you're not living a lie and you don't feel that you're hiding anything. And that is what a lot of people that probably are looking at this and saying, well, why does he have to say all of his personal business? Why take it to social media? If that is what he feels as comfortable for him, then more power to him. But also the mindset is there are others like him who are probably living that same lie that did not come out to anyone and figured, maybe if I can help other people out by sharing this in my life, because remember, we've had players come out that were gay, but only after they retired. Right. The only one that talked about their being gay was Michael Sam, who was drafted by the Rams, but he never got a chance to play in the NFL. So the fear was if you came out as gay during your career, then there would be repercussions by teammates who were homophobic potentially. You might not get a chance to play. Those are the kinds of things. So that's the reason why, to answer your question, as to why people that are coming out are doing it.
I understand, but I firmly believe the percentage of that is smaller now than it was in our generation when we grew up maybe 20 years ago. Even if you want to go back 10 years ago, it seems to me to be more and more accepted that you're gay now or transgender or whatever. And yes, we still should preach and teach, you know, each other about this. But if I'm going to come out to you as gay, Sean, I'm going to tell you, hey, by the way, I'm gay. You'd be like, all right, cool. Well, about time you came out and we move on, you know.
Yeah.
It's like one of my coworkers, you know, announced on social media that, you know, she's gay and she's proud, blah, blah, blah. And with me and my friend, and he's gay, we're like, we didn't say nothing to her, but we're like, okay, so what? Big deal. We happy for you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you feel relief, no problem. You know, by the same time, I'm coming out. I could be wrong. I don't see it as a big deal as it was back then 20 years ago. Like, oh, my gosh, you're gay. How could this be? Now it's more like, all right, cool. Whatever you want to be, you could be now.
Here's the good part about that mindset is that same exact emotion that you just gave. So what? You're gay? Okay, cool. That is what the LGBTQ community is pushing for. Just so that it is, okay, you came out. Let's move on. You're still my friend. You're still my brother. You're still my sister. We're good. And that is that's all that is being, instead of the vitriol that we still see, because remember, we're still living in a country where the bar that happened in Florida, we just had a 5-year anniversary of Yeah. The bar that had the shooting in the gay club.
At the Pulse.
We still have
in Orlando.
I couldn't get the name of it. Yes. We have a lot of places where gay bashing happens on a regular basis. We still have misappropriations of the gay and lesbian transgender community on a regular basis. So there are still taboos and still homophobia that is out there that has to be
conquered. But to understand your point, but same way as there's black hate, there's Asian hate, there's Jewish hate.
Oh, yeah.
All this hate, all this bickering, all have laws and bills affected, except for the black bill, black hate yet. But a minute, pride, you say something about a pride and a hatred, you get attacked back, and there's a law against that as a hate crime. So go back to our first topic, you know. Everything else is a hate crime, but come down to a black. We will look into it. We don't hate gay people. You know, we love them. Matter of fact, I have one person who's on the phone right now. He's super gay, and he will tell me that he's gay. He will finally come out the closet, and his name is K-Dog. But besides that...
Oh, brother, here we go, man. Listen, people, listen, look. First up, I am...
Can I get a hole?
I have a huge love affair with Jill Scott, so but
talk about the football player called that came out gay. I know you don't care about who's gay or not, but do you think that this exposure of people keep announcing on the media platform, I should say, of coming out, do you think it's necessary or overreaction, or what is your take on this?
Listen, whatever way someone is living, I'm not saying that people choose a lifestyle. It's the way you were born. You were born that way. If you're born that way, hey, who cares? Live your life. You ain't killing nobody. You ain't hurting nobody. This is who you are. This is who you are. And if whoever doesn't like it, they could go to hell. You understand? So whatever it is, you know, people need to come out, because guess what? The thing is, you can't live your life a lie. You know, you can't be something that you're not. If that's who you are, this is who you are. Like I said, people love to throw stones, but yet they do far worse than anybody. They do far worse. Even if you're in a bash gay man, okay, but you do far worse. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Yes, but do you feel that they're pushing that agenda? I'm like, yes. When Carl announced that he's gay, I didn't care. But one thing I was proud that he did, that he donated money to a charity.
Right.
For, you know, to help other people.
Yeah, he donated $100,000 to the Trevor Fund.
You know what it is? I feel that it is being pushed for a reason. There's a reason why it's being pushed, especially for those who are afraid to come out to their families, those who are afraid to come out. You know, they just tell people to come out. But then at the same time, unfortunately, you have those that are living a lie, and that's deceiving. You know, that's deceiving for both men and women. I find it deceiving.
Maybe I'm saying it because we live in a democratic state of New York, and we come to, you know, New York where you don't care. I'm sure in the red state area or
they won't care
down
because
south,
you know what? Some communities won't welcome it. You understand? Some people will not welcome it. Let's be real about it. 100%. Some people are going to sit there and they're going to bash. They're going to be like this. Who the hell? Oh, what the hell is this? You know, stuff like that. People are going to bash it regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing. You know, with religion, this is the problem. Religion plays a major role in it, because don't forget, some people, they use their religion for judging people. They use their religion for their way of living. You know?
Was there a player last year or a celebrity that couldn't come out because of his religious faith in the church? I forgot who. It probably will come to my mind later. But he was afraid to come out because of his religion.
Yeah.
You know, and other people saying, like, you know what? You know, like I have people who tell me all the time, I have no problem you being gay, but I cannot go to your wedding because God does not like, God, you know, God believes in man and woman, not man and man. And Kato, what trouble are you in right now? You hear the sirens right now.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, it's like it's like my window's open, you know, since there's no since it's not too hot. But however, the problem is, it's like, you know, some people can't really, like, they want to do it, but they're afraid to support it because they're afraid of the backlash they'll get. Like, oh, you're probably one of them. I'm like, any man who's comfortable in his own sexuality shouldn't have a problem with it. The only people, in my opinion, if you're not comfortable in your own sexuality, that means you have a problem. If you have a problem with it, that's you. I'm like, I don't care. They ain't bothering me.
I'm like, you don't care. I'm like, once again, I'm not talking about us. I'm just talking about the society in
people,
general.
People, right.
You know.
Society in general. And this is the thing, and also with different cultures, too. Because don't forget, guys, in other countries, it's not accepted because being part of that group means that you're marked for death in other countries. To be honest, it does happen. You can look it up. It does happen.
Yeah.
Because in other countries, it's not accepted. It's not accepted by any means.
Yes, and Sean Black, remember, I'm sorry, Sean Black in the Bible, remember they said God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. What do you say
about
that?
We've heard that many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people look at the Bible as an impetus for a lot of things. There are people that will take the literal meaning of words in the Bible, and then there are other people that will take those words in the Bible and twist them around for their own needs to prove a point. And that's why a lot of laws get enacted. A lot of people act a certain way based on being, quote-unquote, God-fearing. People that have their own agendas to push and will use the Bible as the excuse to push that agenda. So it's going to really come down to how a person feels, what they feel comfortable with, and in a lot of instances, where they live, where they work, and whatever upbringing that they've had, do they feel comfortable enough to actually say, this is how I feel, this is how I should live, without the stigma of potential violence, discrimination, those kinds of things. And I think that if that ever happens to a point where, like you in your example earlier, that you tell somebody that you come out, and then everybody just reacts like, okay, no big thing. That's all the LGBTQ community is looking for, just to be recognized as
accepted.
It's an everyday thing, and just keep it moving.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about tolerance as far as, you know, because people say, well, I tolerate you because of. They're not looking at being tolerated. They're looking at just being, this is just who I am, and that's it. There's no, you know, just move on from that, and then you just continue on your regular, normal relationship with the person that you consider a friend, a brother, a sister, et cetera. And that's it.
I'm like, you guys know me for being an a-hole for 20 years now. I'm still an a-hole. It doesn't affect me for who I am. It is what it is. Nothing changed.
It is.
But one thing I do have to add on before we go to our final topic, Primer, I'm not a big fan of, not because of the celebration, it is because of the marketing point of it. And this is what I believe this is all about. I see this last year. You see the rainbows everywhere, market buying this, buying that. And the minute June is over, it's back to normal. Like, once again, do you really care about the LGBTQ, VHIJKL community?
I don't know, man.
Do you care about
too many letters, man. Too many letters. What? Too many letters.
Or you just care about the dollars. Let's be honest. You know, do you care about Juneteenth or do you all care about the dollars?
any
business.
Is
just, it's
knows.
Just a dare to shut you up. That's what
it is. It's as like I've said before a couple of years ago about Valentine's Day. For a lot of companies, it's just another chance to sell business cards and Christmas cards, and it's another way of selling merchandise to them. But there mm-hmm. is meaning behind a lot of the holidays that go out there. And when you hear
right.
about what happens, that's all it's looked at. You can
yeah.
you can fall
you tell,
on either side.
You tell me there's
of
a meaning for Christmas? You tell me there's a meaning for Christmas besides a fat man coming down the Christmas, excuse me, coming down the chimney to leave presents that he stole from other people? Give me a break. But,
you're just mad
because
you didn't get what you wanted.
So what? I get cold every year. So what? All right, we have 4 minutes left. K-Dog, you just call in. What is your thought about Juneteenth? Do you care for it? Do you think it's just another thing to keep black people shut up? Or were you out there
it
celebrating
is.
Saturday?
It is, basically.
Naked?
It is. It is. It's just there to keep you quiet because really, honestly, you know, having that, I mean, just to say, oh, here's something for you guys, I'm like, what up? Like, whatever.
Well,
it's
time
for us.
Oh, was you happy that we got a holiday? But last year, I remember you guys said Juneteenth should be a holiday because we had this topic
mm-hmm.
last year. I remember. Now you got
right.
it.
Yeah.
Are you telling me you're not happy with the results?
Listen, like I said, we live in a country where, you know, there's constant injustices. I mean, what is there, you know? I mean, it's a you know, put a lid on it.
A lid on what?
It's on our mouths. Yeah, here's something for you. Here's something for you, you know. The business, and can't say anything really. It is what it is at the end of the day.
I'm going to give you a small pushback on that. Just a small one. To have a holiday based on the end of slavery, which can be talked about on a national level, when we have all talked about quote-unquote white guilt, where a lot of white people are afraid to acknowledge the past because of the damage
mm-hmm.
that it quote-unquote does to white people, to have
right.
that
uh-huh.
past as a national holiday is big. Because
sure.
this isn't something that's, oh, it's just one day and then, you know, we don't talk about it ever again. This is one
this
day.
This is a history. This is a moment in history.
Every year. And every, I believe it's every 6 or so years, it's going to fall on Father's Day also. So think about that. We're going to be talking about Juneteenth, and that's going to be part of the lexicon of what happens in this nation going forward. It may not be huge in the ramifications of, as you said, bill reform and all the other stuff that we need to go through. But as I mm-hmm. said, it's a start. And if we take it from that, you can go further from there.
Are we, or are we just, or are we going to do, you know, block parties and everything? Like, before we go, in case you haven't heard the news, there was an IKEA store in honor of Juneteenth in the cafeteria menu. They had watermelons and fried chicken. Now, do you find that racism, stereotyping, or marketing genius? Because even though people will get upset that they fried chicken and watermelon, still black people are going to buy it anyway and eat it, but still complain about it.
Oh, good grief! That's all I can say.
Exactly. You know, it's like it's insulting, but at the same time, people will still eat it and post on social media and laugh about it, or get upset. But bottom line is all about the marketing. Come on, watermelon fried chicken. I know those two things Sean Black doesn't eat, but majority of black people do eat it. And on that note, K-Dog, stay white. Sean Black,
oh
stay
goodness.
Jewish. Hot Rod, stay Hot Rod. Oh,
peace and love and stay safe, everyone.
Thank you so much, guys, for tuning into the Absolute Truth Show. Don't forget, More and Lord's podcast on Spotify and Anchor.
Yeah, check it
and,
out.
Until next time. As always, the pleasure was all mine and not yours.
Yours. Oh, my
of course.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
Stay safe. Good night.